Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Soul School Lesson 49, Do You Triangulate? Spoiler, yes. Before I get into that, I'll just make a few announcements and let you in on a few things. First of all, thank you so much, all of you new listeners listening in. It means so much to me that you would subscribe and tune in. I've been finding a lot of extra support on the Twitter universe and online, and I'm just so grateful and thankful. Thank you to all of you who've sent in donations and supported the show financially. It really means a lot to me. I work about 25 to 30 hours a week producing the show myself and scheduling guests and doing all the things that need to happen to promote and host the show and create it and produce it and everything else, which takes time away from income I could be making to support and pay my own regular bills like electricity and water and all that stuff. So when you support the show financially, it means I don't have to go and get another part-time job or a full-time job. I already work part-time to make sure that some of those needs can be met and that I can actually pay out of pocket to keep the show running, which costs several hundred dollars a month. So it means so much to me when you do donate and when you promote the show on your own. If you don't have the money, I understand that there's a lot of things pulling at you to fund and support. And if you don't have the money, it really helps if you write a review on iTunes because it gets the show in front of more eyeballs and eardrums, and that will help bring the show to more people. And if you just pass it around and say, I found a new show, please check it out, that makes a big difference too. Thank you so much for doing that. I can tell a lot of people have been doing that lately, and I've also had so many great guests on that really helps too. And just so many people have just been the most fascinating people, and I've really, really enjoyed having them on. I also have some more wonderful guests coming. I'm so excited to share them with you. I'm bursting not being able to tell you who they are because I want to keep some surprises. And there's another thing I want to tell you. I am planning a Soul School field trip for only a very limited number of people, a maximum of 10. I will probably have some kind of early bird special coming up too in the new year. In 2017, I believe it will be in July. I think it will be the third weekend in July. So if you can save the date for that and you want to spend time with me doing a little bit of Soul School, having a lot of interesting conversations, but also plenty of space to decompress and relax and have good food and campfire and just have a lot of time to spend reflecting and just enjoying yourself away from it all, this is going to be the perfect thing for you. So we're going to have so much fun. And I'm so excited to begin the planning stages of that. So if you want to be contacted directly and be updated on this directly, you can actually contact me and I'll put you on a waiting list because I know this could fill up extremely fast. I've already been contacted to save some spots. So if that's you, this would be in Eastern Central Pennsylvania. It'll be around $400. It'll be in mid to late July. And you can contact me at contact@sparkmymuse.com if you really want to save a space and you're afraid you might not get one. So that is the second announcement. And if you go to patreon.com/sparkmymuse, you can find all kinds of pictures there that I took of this location. I've updated with information there, and I will continue to update at patreon.com/sparkmymuse as I get more information about the content and what will be happening during that weekend. I'm just getting super excited. If it fills up super fast and more people are really excited to go, I might be adding another Soul School field trip in the second week in October. We'll just see what the interest is and then go from there. The last announcement I have is for special edition coffee mugs that are Spark My Muse special edition coffee mugs. If you'd like one of those, they're very special, they're limited edition, and I don't know how many more I will be ordering. If you would like one of those, they're only $14.99, and it goes, of course, to support the show. And you can get them also at patreon.com/sparkmymuse. So get dibs on those while you can. And thank you so much for listening to the show. On to the lesson. So what do we mean by triangulating? This is something that all of us do. It's very unlikely we have any awareness of it at all. It's a term we use. If you think of a triangle, you might think of an even-sided triangle, an equilateral triangle, where all the sides and all the angles are the same. That's not the kind of triangle I'm speaking of. I'm speaking of an isosceles triangle, where there's a short side and then two long sides that kind of have a point out apart from the other two. And in the process of a social triangulation, it's where two people sort of get together against another person. And this happens kind of in very subtle ways or very obvious ways. And I'll give you some examples. But if you're a human being and you talk to people at all, and you've ever had any kind of conflict, you have triangulated or someone has triangulated with you. And I'm going to explain what it is, and then I'm going to explain how damaging it is and why it's basically very, very toxic. And it creates all kinds of problems that you're going to want to avoid. And you're going to want to be aware of it in your relationships. And I'll give you a few steps on how to extricate yourself from a triangulation if you're sort of invited to be in one, which you will probably in the next day or two. One of the examples that becomes very common is a parent, and a child. This happens extremely often. So here's one example. Say you're in a situation, a spouse situation, and your spouse has done something that's really irritated you. And let's say they just haven't come through for you for something. And your child's in the room, your spouse leaves the room, and you say something like, "Well, daddy really doesn't come through for us sometimes, does he?" Right there, a triangulation has happened because you've tried to gain the support of someone else instead of taking the problem and the grievance straight to that person. So you've done something to get somebody on your side. And another way it happens is venting or gossip or any time where you try to align yourself with someone else in order to feel better about the person who isn't present there. Or maybe they are present, but usually they're not. Usually it's something said with someone not there. A lot of times this happens with a gossip situation. You're angry, you need to vent, or you're frustrated and ticked off. And there's healthy ways to vent, and there's extremely socially destructive ways to talk about someone else who isn't there. So gossip is just a social cancer. It will pollute and make toxic any environment. And so if someone is gossiping to you, they will gossip of you. You have to be very careful who you talk to about other people, because then they will begin to immediately not trust you. So if you're gossiping, you're triangulating. And that means gossip can be defined as saying anything you wouldn't say without the person being there, and anything that might damage a person in some way. And so you can say something factual, but you can do it in a way that is really emotionally neutral, and just not do it in a way that it's going to be punishing or destructive to the person, and allow the other person to make up their own mind without putting something in the game there and pushing it along. It tends to be that when we are speaking of someone, we have some sort of horse in the game. We have some sort of angle or some sort of agenda, and that's really what gossip is. So when we triangulate with gossip, it is for war. I know that might sound a little dramatic, but that's essentially what's happening, is a social warfare. Now, what's interesting is that all primates seem to do this warfare stuff. If there's something going on, they will rally others to their side and go on the attack. And really, we're no different in those areas, but it's an extremely poisonous social situation. And it's a really short-term gain. You can get pleasure from siding with someone and feeling protected or surrounded and comforted in that moment, or sided with in that moment. And it's very short term. It might be 5 minutes, it might be 5 hours or an hour. But the long term problem remains, because whatever problem you had with that original person is still there. But now that person realizes that they're sided against. And then it creates a secondary problem, where they will know that you have turned on them with someone else. There's actually a verse in the Bible. Some people who are listening don't care about the Bible, or not Christians, or care much about scriptures in this way. But there's some wisdom in the Bible that refers to when you are about to sacrifice, make your sacrifice before God, that if there, you have a grievance with another person, that you take a whole bunch of people with you and you go attack that person. Actually, no, it doesn't say that at all. It says that you leave your sacrifice and you just go directly to that person. You don't tell someone else. You do it in private. Is implied that you do that alone, just with you and that person. So a lot of time, cowardice gets the best of us, or our insecurities get the best of us, and we don't have the confidence or the bravery just to go kindly to the other person and say, we need to talk about this. There's something wrong, or there's something we need to discuss. And instead, we go to someone else. We say, oh, can you believe what they did? I'm really angry at this person. I'm going to have to confront them. But instead of confronting them, we just talk about them. And we talk about how angry we feel and frustrated. The wisdom of the scripture says, just go straight to that person. That's the actual problem. The triangulation happens when you add a third element. And that third element sends that other person apart, and they're outcast. And you are tight with this person who has nothing to do with the problem, and or they shouldn't have anything to do with the problem. And once you pull that in, there is a social warfare dynamic that happens that becomes inherent to the problem and adds a secondary problem. It is so ingrained in us that after I tell you this, you are going to see triangles everywhere. You do them, I do them. Everybody you know does them. Little kids do it right away. You'll see it in kindergarten. Anybody you see will wind up doing this. It's just a tactic we do to feel better and to feel more secure. But it's really bad for us. It's really immature socially, and it's just a bad idea. So Soul School today is really about growing up and growing into a better way of interacting and a better way of common life, where we have a way to approach people in love and maturity and say, I want this to be between you and me. I just want to talk about this issue at hand, not be insecure about what it is. But a lot of times we just don't have the courage. And if we don't have the courage, we have to be able to forgive and let it go. But a lot of times we just don't want to do that. We want to hang on to it, or we want to yak about this person to somebody else. It really is poison. And so what do you do, though, if someone tries to drag you into a triangle? Because this will happen. It might happen today. It'll probably happen this week. Someone's going to come up to you, even if you're trying really hard to stay out of situations where you make triangles, someone's going to go up and they're going to say, did you see what the boss did today? Can you believe that? Or you're never going to believe what happened. We went to the birthday party and you wouldn't believe what this guy's mom said. They're going to try to bring you into a triangle. They're going to try because they're not going to have the courage to deal with the person on their own or forgive or do whatever it takes on their own to have the kind of social maturity that's needed for the situation. So what on earth do you do? The number one thing that needs to be done, and this is not easy, this could take a while, but you have to hand it back to them. Try to remain as neutral as you can. You can empathize and say, that really stinks. But as soon as you start piling on and saying, what a jerk, oh my gosh, that's horrible, and siding and making suggestions about, you know, what terrible revenge you could do, or that it really heaps on, and that creates a warlike situation, a two-on-one piling on. So one of the things that you can do is just give them a chance to figure out the solution themselves. Like, well, what do you think you should do? And just kind of hand it back instead of making more poison and making the situation more toxic, where you're adding a lot of emotion and anger and fueling their fire. Just say, wow, that sounds painful. That sounds sad. Or that must be really frustrating. You hand it back. What do you think you should do? Or you just simply say, that's really serious. I would go to that person. You really need to have the courage to go to them and talk to them as quickly as you can. Advise them to just go straight to that person and not make you part of the triangle. Don't make a triangle. Keep it a straight line. Now, this is going to be hard because they might get angry at you and they might think that you don't support them. You can say, you know, I really love you. I really support you. This is really hard for you, but I know that I'm not part of helping you with this problem. This is really about you and that other person. This isn't really about me. But I'm here for you emotionally. I understand that you're going through a hard time, and I'm going to be really thinking of you as you approach this person with that problem. But do not get sucked in, because what happens is then that other person knows you're against him or her. That other person knows, oh, it's war. I'm hated, or I'm disliked, or I'm the outcast one. And you see how it just brings poison to the whole social dynamic? It's us versus them. This is what makes it so hard to be in life together. So find ways to hand it over and hand it back. Allow them to handle their situation themselves with courage and maturity and bravery and strength. For homework for Soul School, my challenge is to be aware of when you're triangulating and be aware of when you're getting drawn into a triangle, when you're getting pulled into one. It can happen with two friends that you're going to get drawn in. It can happen at work where two workers go against another coworker, or two coworkers and a boss. Really common. It can happen in all kinds of situations. We want to create life-giving relationships. And wherever we are interacting, we want those to be life-giving. Of course, we're going to screw up. I've screwed up. I've triangulated. You've screwed up. You've triangulated. But when we know better, hopefully we do better. As you're awakened to this phenomenon, this social fallout that happens when we make these triangles in our relationships and in our social dynamics, open your eyes to them and realize, wow, this really doesn't work. So in the situation of the two parents and the child, you say, oh, daddy really doesn't come through for us. That daddy will come in and realize, oh, okay, it's 2-on-1. So then how is he going to feel? Beat up on, hurt, then what? Shut down. It just has so much extra fallout. Instead of doing that, if the person doesn't include the child, goes straight to them and says, let's talk about this maybe when we're a little calmed down. I need to talk to you about a few things. It works so much better than bringing in a third person. If there's a conflict with the boss, it's really easy to say, can you believe what the boss did, making us stay for overtime? This really ticks me off. I'm going to leave this job. This guy doesn't deserve me, blah, blah, blah. If you either go to the boss and tell him how you feel, or just suck it up and get over it, it's going to be so much better than creating a toxic work environment where the attitude is really sour. If you look at the difference between environments where there aren't triangles and environments where there have been a lot of triangles created, the difference is like night and day. It's a difference between a cohesive and healing and nurturing environment where people feel safe and appreciated, to an environment of suspicion where everyone's looking over their shoulder and everybody could be outcast and everybody could be talked about and everybody could be thrown under the bus, and a hostile environment. It's a difference between night and day. And so my wish for you is that the environments you're in can be rid of toxic social dynamics. And my blessing for you is that you can be aware of those times when you create or participate in triangles that create poison in your social environment. And I hope that you will listen in on Friday for a really interesting guest interview on remembering your dreams and using your dream life to bring healing in your relationships and in your life. It'll be a really fascinating episode with Robert Wagoner. Thank you so much for listening. I wish you blessing, peace, and a lot of spark in your life.